Welcome to the podcast. As a listener, you're invited to claim your comp pass for our next live full-day Software Oasis virtual AI event with the world's top B2B AI experts. By attending, you'll join our engaged community of founders and executives from over 200,000 leading B2B global organizations. AI won't take your place, but a competitor leveraging it to drive results will. Learn the latest in AI first Thursday of every month. Tap green button at softwareoasis.com or use show notes link to secure your pass. I'd like to welcome everyone to this week's edition of Consulting Spotlight. I'm your host, Michael Bernzweig, and joining us today, we have Travis Fox. He's the visionary co-founder of Build Your Fortress. And with that, Travis, I want to welcome you to the podcast.
Thanks, Michael. I appreciate being here. You know, whenever it says visionary co-founder, I always shudder from that word. I'm like, I don't know. What's that old saying? There's no such thing as an original idea. You only build a better mousetrap for your generation. So hopefully I'm that visionary for this generation. But I shudder to tell you that the industry was founded long before Travis Fox was on the planet.
Yeah, we'll leave it to the audience to decide.
But fair play.
I was hoping for anyone that may not be familiar with Build Your Fortress or the whole concept of high performance panels, can you kind of share with our audience a little bit of your journey and a little bit about the day in and day out of what goes on there at Build Your Fortress?
Yeah, but you're actually catching us at a profound revolutionary time for us. And I don't mean revolutionary and contrarian. I mean as an evolutionary on how it's going to revolutionize the manufacturing industry. So I'll mark that and then go backwards to answer your question. I actually got into real estate when I was 19 years old from two things. And then here's the irony. One, I was trained by Robert Allen when I was a kid on how to do no money down deals because I was fascinated by this concept. I didn't grow up as a privileged child, even though I grew up in the golf world. My father was an incredibly frugal man, military to the bone. So every, penny was markered to some sort of output. And, every time I entered a tournament, it had to have an ROI. So it was always built on that performance model, hence the name high performance, 40 years later. I got into real estate and I started doing fix and flips when I was younger because it made sense to me. And golf and real estate was always my dream and passion of, hey, if I'm going to go play on the PGA Tour, wish dream, then I want to design golf courses because that makes the most sense to me because without real estate, there's no golf. That's how I got into real estate and started looking at it. And then I read, at the risk of sounding political, I am not political for any of you out listening to this show. I just read a book that influenced me. I read, now President Trump's, The Art of the Deal back in the late 80s. And it got my attention of, well,
didn't anybody in business didn't read that book?
I don't mean political for all of our friends on the other side of the aisles, whichever aisle you're on. I don't care. I care about our veterans. That's what's most important to me. And as I went through my career, I would do two things. Half the year I would spend on real estate, fixing flips and developing portfolio. And the other half I would spend in the film and television side of me and on the psychological side of me, which is really, the blend of the two going 40 years later. And as I continued to grow, I started to look at things. And when my eldest son decided to go and enlist, and he became a special force operator. He was TACP, did four tours for his God and country, and finished his law degree at Georgetown, and then did some posts, and now is currently reenlisted as an Army captain. In
that's
reserves.
Helpful. Oh my goodness.
It is. Yeah. He's the Captain America of our family. But what really started to bother me, and it was just, he had called me when he had come back from his last tour from Afghanistan and, was going through his significant stuff. And in the end, he was started like, hey, Dad, I think I want to buy a house and I'm just going to kind of focus on my next level of career. And buying a house for him became challenging, which I thought was odd. It's not, this would seem to be your perfect borrower, right? You've got a military veteran, he's decorated. He's got law degrees. He would seem to be that guy, but let's agree the military isn't always the highest paying thing in the world and that's fine, but his credit was solid and he couldn't buy a house. And I just kind of started looking around. I said, well, why not? I don't understand why you couldn't afford a house. And then I started really diving into it and I realized that a lot of what we've been doing in this country, and even up to this conversation, we're still building with something we've been doing for 200 years, all the way back to barn raising days. If you want to go back to the colonials, and I'm going, well, that's a great tradition. But if you really expand your vision for all of you listening to the show, look what's going on in the rest of the world. They're building with advanced materials. They're building at speed. They're doing things that are conceptually were originally considered out of bounds.
Right.
I'll cite Dubai as a perfect example. I mean, what an incredible turnaround they've done in the last 20 years. And again, I'm not political, I'm not ideological, and I'm not theological. I'm just looking at it from just a pure perspective of advancement.
Oh, Dubai is just absolutely extraordinary.
Unbelievable.
The structure they've built, you know, everything, just unbelievable.
Yeah, and having been there and looked around, I went, my gosh, these, you know, and I use this analogy, which kind of dates myself, but all of us. Yeah, it really is. I mean, and continuing to do that. And now that that whole region is really starting to expand. And so we started looking at that. And I said, well, you know, it feels like we're here in America building in the Flintstones era when we should be building in the Jetsons like the rest of the world. And then I kind of went on this tear of, well, what's out there? There's got to be something. I mean, God, we have flying cars. We have electric cars. We've got phones that we can do that are straight out of Star Trek. And yet we're still building out of sticks and bricks. And we have these massive storms that are incredibly intense that are wiping out swaths of humanity and structures at any given moment. And something doesn't make sense to me. So I started diving in and I found SIPs, or structurally insulated panels. And for those of you who don't know what it is, I want you just to visualize an ice cream sandwich. You have an outside edge of OSB, and then you have a hyper-compressed polystyrene. You would know that as styrofoam, but we compress all the air out of it so it's a solid block. And then another OSB. And these things fit together like ice cream sandwiches and paint by numbers. And I went, wait a minute, this is the most simplistic and ideologically intelligent system I've seen out there. And I've seen a lot of crazy stuff out there, and there's amazing things still even beyond in different aspects, right? Right. And so I got really fascinated by it, and I said, well, wait a minute. So if I took the two passions that I'm passionate about, which is one, you know, real estate, but more importantly, two, our vets, and you put two together, you now have Build Your Fortress. And Build Your Fortress is based on the ideology of high performance panels, but revolutionized and understood that here's the fundamental problem. I can build all the warehouses you want, Michael. That's great. They're slow to build. And moreover, they cost millions of dollars to equip and put the manufacturing equipment in it. And then they're stuck in one geographical location and then say, hey, Michael, you want to build a house in New York, but my facility's over here in Nevada. Well, logistically, I'm now causing this challenge to get these products to you. And so as we looked, well, we could do it for Railhead. And we started looking around. And I said, well, wait a minute. The fundamental problem is it's a fixed location. Well, if you look at our military does a very simple thing. They do an advanced thing called a forward operating base. So we put it out there, which is what SIPs were originally used for, in part and partiality, I might add, by the way. It was a quick way to put up structures, make sure they're protected. Because of their strength and their solidity, it added a bunch of other layers, but you could also disassemble it from a military application and move on. So you're maximizing your resource allocation. Fast forward now, we've been working on that challenge now for the last 2 years. And last year, 2024, I spent my pretty much everything we have and everything our focus on was how do we take the manufacturing plan and I bring it to you, or what we now dub Operation Knights of the Fortress, where our military men and women can learn how to build the SIPs, they can learn the line, they actually have an opportunity, and they can become a franchise or licensee owner, which is our mobile line, which is four trucks, four 52-foot semi-tractor trailers that roll into a location like Los Angeles is a perfect example, and we're kicking the panels out right there on the spot, as opposed to taking an order from one of our facilities, trucking it in, dropping it off, and adding all these other steps and layers and time. How about just build it on site? We're building these massive developments, or in this case, we can get rid of this wonderful organization. And I say this with respect to all of our friends in the government, but FEMA sucks. And it's not combat effective. It hasn't worked. We're still haven't even rebuilt from Katrina. And that was 15 years ago, where we have, you know, parts of Louisiana are still decimated. That's unacceptable, in my opinion, in this country. And it's time for us to move into that era from the Jetsons, you know, from the Flintstones to the Jetsons. And now also too, but give our vets not only the homes that they deserve, and I'm not talking just giving them, they learn how to build their own house, but they can do it in hours as opposed to weeks or months because of the speed, but the solidity. And also to our military know how to hold a community. And if we're doing rebuilding a community together, we have military men and women, our first responders. These are the people you want as your neighbor. Because if something goes south, I want them as my neighbor so that we can move and have a triage center. We have emergency resources. We all work together as a unit because they've done it in real time, whether in civilian life and or in military life. And that operation allows us to all look deep inside our hearts, especially now, and go, okay, as Americans, regardless whatever race, creed, color, age, I don't care. We all agree to one thing. We made an oath to the flag. We pledge allegiance to the flag. Or in military, you made an oath to defend the Constitution, both foreign and domestic. Well, domestically now, out of service, we have homelessness. It's a problem. We have vets. We're losing 44 vets a day right now on average. And so we partner with Black Pack and CVG, which is our veterans organization, so that we can actually help our vets get the support they need, get the job, but not just a job, because a job sucks. Give them a chance for opportunity for escalation all the way up to becoming an owner and actually own one of these. And our goal now is to put 48 of these licensing franchises over the next 24 months, one in each of the 48 states. So now you truly have the modern day cavalry, and we can rebuild America, literally starting with our communities and going forward. And that's how I arrive here on your show.
You don't pick anything simple. It sounds like you
no
in with both feet, and obviously have a mission and a purpose and a vision.
I do.
Like you're rolling that out. So
I do.
I guess the first question that comes to mind is, sure, what inspired the creation of Build Your Fortress? What was the founding story? How did it come together?
Yeah, you know, I'd love to tell you it was a, you know, a joy, feel good feelings. No, I was actually pissed. I was actually really pissed off. And I wasn't pissed at anybody. I was pissed at a theme, meaning, again, Jetsons versus Flintstones. How is it we can say we're the greatest country in the world? And I believe that we are. But we're doing things that are so bass-ackwards and so debilitating to the, specifically to the construction industry at large. And we've seen this in post of these apocalyptic storms, whether it was, you know, whether you have North Carolina or you have the horrible, and I'm an ex Southern Californian. So the LA fires hit very close home to me. In fact, I grew up in Marina Del Rey, not far from right where then I played Riviera more times than I can count, both, you know, in my professional life and my amateur life. And to watch that happen was, it's surreal. You don't see these things for movies, but this was real life. And then I started looking, I'm like, well, wait a minute. Why are these people not able to get back to their homes? They've lost everything. Give them a shot. The slab's already there. Give me the blueprint. Let me roll in with the trucks. Let's start rebuilding right now. But instead, so, we're going through red tape. It makes no sense.
Let me ask you a question. So like, if you were to bullet point,
sure,
the details that make these high performance panels a game changer in the construction industry, what are the details about these panels that make it a real game changer?
Yeah, fair play. Well, let's start with the basics, right? On average, you're going to save 30% of waste because we're not measuring and cutting what you would with lumber package. It comes done for you. Windows are pre-cut. The windows are pre-cut, but it's assembled on site. So you have the ability to fabricate and move things without having to, I got to tear this whole wall down and redo it again. Don't need to. Two, speed to build. Literally speed to build. And you can see this on our website where we worked with Habitat for Humanity, which has a really good speed to build, about 21 days to frame. We did it in 4.5 hours. Exact same blueprint, side-by-side house comparison to go, there you go. So when you look at that, speed to build is on average 50%. On top of that, operating the house makes it interesting because our R factor and our standard 6-inch walls is R25. But it doesn't change because it's a solid core versus, you know, insulation where you have gaps and you have studs that are apart and you have all these other air loss factors that people don't think about. And that's the difference between putting food on the table or, you know, making a car payment or maintaining the house, you know, heating and cooling. So you're going to save about up to 70% in HVAC. And even more so, SIPs are the only product that the Miami-Dade County has certified and proved to survive storms. We have 160-mile-an-hour ground force rating. What does that mean? Well, it means you're going to survive the storm. And that's why it's called Fortress. And only that, because our military men and women have the opportunity to come and be a part of this for all of us. The United States is a fortress. Our communities are fortresses. Our states are fortresses. We are fortifying and rebuilding America because we haven't really invested in our country hardcore really since World War II. We've done things here and there. I don't want to misspeak, but let's talk on a macro level. Name a major metropolitan area, and I guarantee you I can walk in there and some part of the inner city is falling apart. And it hasn't been rebuilt because we go to sprawl. And then we cyclically try to come back and rebuild. The problem is if we rebuild all the same thing, we're going to run into the same result. So we need something that's better, faster, greener, and stronger and uses less resources. And also because we can start recycling the polystyrene. So instead of putting in our landfills, which doesn't decompose, styrofoam doesn't, use it. And now we use it in a product that makes sense. And we're using less of our wood resources because of the timber. We're only using the OSB. And now we can start moving to R&D products where we're using renewable resources like hemp. We're using bamboo. And now even moving into coconut husk as we start to move towards the islands down in the southeast outside of Florida to go, well, they don't have wood. So we had to use other sources and we continue to do so going, guys, we can do this. It's for all of us. It's better from the cities, the states, counties, everything. So we have better, faster, greener, stronger houses. And now you're seeing this, and we all know this. When we see insurance companies not insuring on in certain areas, we have to have a product that they have to insure because it's already been rated and done by outside third parties, all the way from the Department of Energy to Kobe, Japan on seismic studies of SIPs. And that's how we do it. And that's what the kind of the distinct advantage are right out of the box.
So are other organizations doing this? And if so, how does it stack up? Or if not, why
not enough? The answer is not enough. I mean, there's supposed to be 60 SIP manufacturers in the entire United States, ourselves included. Realistically, there's 10 that I have found that I believe are hardcore. When I mean by hardcore enough that they can have an output and a throughput that can keep up sustainable resources and push out the product. However, given situations that we're currently facing right now, i.e., again, the ones aforementioned, LA, North Carolina, Florida, et cetera, who are still in rebuild mode, we can't build plants fast enough. President Trump is correct. Right now, we need to bring manufacturing back to the United States as fast as we can, whether it's static or mobile. We chose to go mobile for two reasons. One, we can be we can respond instantly to some location and help rebuild immediately. Put up emergency structures, put up emergency resource centers that can be built literally in hours so that they're structurally there, they're ready to go. They don't have to be pretty, they just have to work. And that's the problem we're running into. And then start rebuilding these cities so that we can move faster, but also too, it turns the economy. Well, let's backpedal off from that emergency services. Let's just talk about development. Instead of having our developers be in these projects 18, 24 months and waiting so that they can't move because the banks won't give them any bigger large lines of credit because they're stuck in a project, you can turn these faster because you go from a horizontals, your verticals go up 10 times faster, which means people are buying the product because they can see it. They can see the ends in sight. They can start moving into that space. And now all of a sudden it turns the entire economy. I mean, let's be honest, building is part of the economy of the GDP of the United States of America. That's how we built this country.
And obviously, you're in the right space as things are transitioning now in the U.S. So I guess my biggest question is, you've eliminated a huge roadblock in terms of the manufacturing process. It's mm-hmm. a no-brainer. But what are the existing constraints? Like, obviously, before you can lay down a new structure, you need to have a foundation, you need to have infrastructure, you need to have a lot of other components to the whole process. So
yeah, there's three big, there's three.
Reality, how does it all roll out?
It rolls, strangely enough, we're the fastest part, but we're held up by parts that we have no control over. You're right. The horizontal development entitlements, man, my God, I think I lose a year every year time a project starts because by the, we'll be done 8 months from now. It's entitled and now we're ready for horizontals. Now, even the horizontal space has made massive adjustments on their ability to pour slabs and create infrastructure so we can go to vertical quickly. That's the first one is the government bureaucracy, with all due respect, is too damn slow, especially in the smaller towns. Guys, get with it. We got to streamline this process. It's not rocket science, right? Look at the blueprint, look at the plat, let's make it happen. That's the first one. The second one is capital constraints. Most people have this ideology, that's just too good to be true. And I went, well, okay, let's start with iPhone 1, right? Let's go back in time. Let's go back to the iPod. Let's go look at some of these massive technology. I mean, look at AI. We're at AI now. I mean, everybody thought the web was cool. Now we're at AI. Now we got walking robots. Guys, it's possible to build structures without having to do traditional sticks and bricks. Are there influence of sticks and bricks? Of course, but it doesn't mean it has to be the entire totality of it. And also too, our grid here in the United States is failing. It's not built for the amount of technology pull that we pull ever. I mean, just here in this studio, I've got three monitors, two computers, and three phones going that are all pulling electric on top of the lights, on top of your standard operation. So times that by, 330 million people times X, we're pulling a ton. And the grid needs a little bit of support. And with these houses, we're not spending as much heating and cooling because our R factor is solid. And that's a cool trick that most people don't look at when you buy a structure of what it takes to operate it. We look at it, but we don't really pay attention to it because each one of us is subjective to what temperature loads we like to live at. And that's the freedom of living in America. And then the third is realistically coming to the space of what does a capital investment look like? Right? Are we talking about, do we do Reg CF? Do we do investment banking? You know, does it have to have a certain amount of EBITDA before they get to scalability? There's all these factors where, you know, back in the day when we first started looking at rebuilding post-World War II, it was, hey, if it solves a problem and it makes reasonable sense, then you could get support. Unfortunately, in today's banking world, it's incredibly difficult. Not only do they want everything from the company, but they want it from all the top officers, everything to the point where, you know, you get penalized for not being big enough, which then you get this divide again, right? Well, if you got, you know, the top ones building and the ones trying to get into it, well, the divide is here. And it's this constant battle as opposed to, wait a minute, guys. And if you watch the Super Bowl as of recently, there's a unifying message that's out there and something that we're big about. It's like, look, upholding the oath is for all of us. America needs help right now, regardless of political ideology. I don't care about politics. I care about people. I'm in the people business. You can call it build your fortress, but at the end of the day, I'm in the people business. And the Maslowian hierarchy of needs, food, air, water, shelter, shelter. So if we don't have a theme of safety, I don't care if it's a 900 square foot ADU or it's a 40,000 square foot warehouse. If we don't have some sense of feeling of safety, then you have a very unstable society because people don't feel like they have a place they can call home, their own, the American dream, all of those things that you and I, and at least our generation grew up on believing and really chasing. This younger generation doesn't even have a chance. They don't stand a chance. The rental market is incredibly expensive, and that's part of because we have a lack of inventory. I mean, currently right now we live at just north of an 8 million home deficit, meaning that there's 8 million homes needed just to supply every single person in this country with the opportunity for a home. I'm not talking about rental. I'm just talking about home. 8 million and growing. And so when we look at that concept, every single one of us as builders, manufacturers, developers, even if we're going at 100 miles an hour, as fast as we can all go, we should be so lucky to make an 8 million home deficit in the next decade. So we need everyone to get involved in this and step forward. Doesn't necessarily have to be build your fortress, although I think it should, but nonetheless, get involved and somehow and start looking at real estate investment companies that do this on a scale. And there's several major corporations that do sticks and bricks that are of note, and they're very well done. But also too, look at some advanced building. No different than you would do your traditional banking and commodities with stock market. You're also now looking at crypto. I would analogize it's the same thing. Continue to develop the way you're doing it because we need the help and we need it. But also start looking at advanced products. There's a ton of them out there, Build Your Fortress being one of them, who are all revolutionizing that same market. And you know, diversify your portfolio without, you know, going into your mitigation of risk. That's, you know, I'm not an advisor, so don't take that position from me, but just look at that as a comparative analogy. You're splitting your portfolio. Why wouldn't you do that in a construction industry where we can get better results?
So can you talk a little bit about the footprint of your organization in terms of manufacturing and capacity and all of that? Because obviously as important as the actual physical product and the design and speed market is, if you don't have the capacity to get the solution out there, it's all for naught. So can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, we were in, for the last couple of years, we operated out of a facility where we were co-partnering with our other partner at the time. And we kept looking at this philosophy of going, this is where I came back to my previous comments of putting a manufacturing facility is not cheap. It's incredibly expensive and time consuming. And so we've put all of our efforts in the mobile line for two reasons. One, mobility, but two, the line that we've developed as part of our IP gives us a deeper output and throughput on the line. You know, in previous models, we were putting out about 60 panels a day. Well, what does that mean? Yeah, it means about one 1,200 square foot house a day, give or take. That's about what it means. As opposed to a 4x output where we can do up to 200 panels per every 8-hour shift. Now we're pushing out 4 to 5 homes a day. You know, you do that 5 days a week and you're doing it on site. You can move through a development very quickly, or at least a phase development for sure. That's multifam. Then again, that's RALs, that's hospitals, that's hotels, or single family res of any size. You know, we tend to like to focus on the workforce and attainable housing sector because I find that housing is incredibly expensive and it doesn't need to be. But it is. And a lot of that is labor. Yeah, but what if you could reduce that? What if you could actually get, we have one company that's challenged us point blank, said, if you can get an entire house built for about $140,000, 1,200 square foot, 322, vaulted roof. If you can get that done for about $140,000, they're ready to go. They're like, we have 2,000 doors we're ready to build this year alone in just one state. I'm like, okay. So for us, it was, well, we can keep investing in all of this, you know, manufacturing and building and, you know, going through that nonsense, but it takes forever to put these things together, even if we take over an existing facility or we go mobile. So we have shifted our entire output to mobile. Well, it's revolutionized the line. right? I mean, and what made it even more unique is we can take that line and take it off the trucks and put it into a facility, even temporary. So, hey, Mr. and Mrs. Mayor, you're having a scenario. You've got all these warehouses that are empty. Let us, we'll appropriate one for a couple of months. We'll put the line in there. We'll put people back to work. We'll output what you need. And if that's all that this city needs, then we can put it back on the trucks and take off. But you've got what you need. You've now got people on the ground. You've got deeper infrastructure. And then we can see what the sprawl of the city looks like.
Really, you're not only taking advantage of helping the community get back to business, but you're also employing people.
Now, yeah.
What is the level of skill required for the actual manufacturing process and for the actual construction process?
Believe it or not, if you're going to go from an educational level, high school, you don't need any more than that. Moreover, for us, our first line of opportunity that we look at is discharge vets and our first responders who are looking for the next career. I mean, one of the things we do in the military is we teach passion, purpose, mission, and vision, team. And then we say, by the way, thank you for your service, Michael. And we throw you out. Hey, you're discharged now. You're back in the world. And there's none of that. It's just utter chaos. We're in the military. It's very regimented. We know exactly what we're doing. Here's what the value is. And this is what happens. And I learned that from both my father and as well as my eldest son. I didn't have the honor of serving, but I've been around it my whole life since I was literally 2 years old and watching and growing up on military bases around the world and saying, hey, kids, here's a value output. You know exactly what you're doing. There's a chain of command. You have secondaries and you have this brother and sisterhood. And then we throw them out to the streets and say, well, thanks for your service. Oh, well, good luck. And I think that's a disservice. But moreover, then we say, okay, go find a job. Well, what jobs can they really do? That depends on what they were in service. But let's say as a macro comment, it's team. Well, a lot of jobs aren't in that team space for them. So for us, those are the first people we look at. So as long as you have a high school education, but moreover for me, hey, as long as you have ambition and you have a willingness to get up and get on your feet and get back into the game, whatever that game may be, we're going to find a space for you, whether it's on the line, whether it's part of an assembled crew, whether it's driving the trucks. Moreover, and what I really idealize is I want them to own this. It's their right. There's a reason why you and I are having this wonderful show that you've invited me on. Thank you. Is because men and women stood on a wall. And they made sure that this country has been safe, and we've been doing it for 200 plus years now. And we forget often. I know I'm guilty of it too. And I hold myself in contempt that every day I get up and if I have anything to complain about, you better remember why you have something to complain about. And that is because for 200 years, we've made sure that this country's borders are protected both internally and externally, regardless of politics and regardless of ideology. But for example, if the men and women had not answered the call of World War II, this would be a very different conversation in a very, very, very different world right now. So let's step back a second. Now, I don't like war any more than anybody else. I think it's one of the worst atrocities in humanity that we do to ourselves. But until everybody comes to a peaceful state, we still have those men and women and their families, something that is often overlooked. The effect on these families when these men and women go to serve for a year or 2 years at a time and they're not home. These kids that grow up without their mother or father who are both maybe military on discharge and out on service, they should come back to something that gives them solidity. And for me, it became a very strong, passionate driver. I mean, it's not just, hey, I just want to build houses and help the vets. No, I'm actually a little bit on fire about it. And I think we need to be. It's time that we stand up. It's been a long time since America's had a real strong pride in itself. And I'm going back, you know, not just in the most recent times. I'm talking for a while. How come? Because I think we've lost our ability to communicate in an effective way. We don't know our neighbors like we used to. We have had so many who are getting hit on so many different fronts. Wouldn't it make sense? Let's start with building your fortress. Because back in the day, Michael, we used to build each other's house. I would help you build yours and you'd come help build mine. Now we can do that because you don't need to be a tradesman to build a SIP product. It helps, but it's not required.
So walk me through a day in the life. My town just got hit with a disaster.
Yep.
You know, everything's destroyed. You come in. What does it look like? Where do you start? And, you know, what kind of a timeline are we looking at based on cooperation from the community, from the government, from, you know, all the different stakeholders involved? What are we looking at?
Yeah, good question. The first thing we'd want to do is no different than, you know, and we're very blessed because in this company, we are represented even at the board level by all four branches of the military, right? From colonels to sergeants. So we have all four branches are represented, specifically focused on the logistics and operations and finance. And how do we move this like an efficient unit, which is something the military generally is really good at. Is they perfect? No, because there's still humans involved, but moreover, they've got it down pretty well. So if that first thing you want to do is you want to move in our humble opinion, and establish a forward operating base. And that is put up a SIP structure where people have shelter from whatever may be happening, but also to where we can start to distribute emergency services. Now, I'm going to pick you to a visual for everybody listening so that this makes sense to you. In most recent times, you saw this in LA, where instead of that happening, what people did is they reclaimed the big parking lot over in Santa Ana, and we made the biggest, basically, you know, for lack of definition, resource center that we could find, where everybody brought water, their clothes or food or whatever they needed so these people could have the basic services because their entire lives were obliterated through these fires. Well, what if you had a building there? You could pop a SIP building up that's very quick. Boom, you could put it up. Now people have shelter. You have an organizational structure. You can have inbound logistics, outbound logistics, water. Same thing with our first responders, fire and police, specifically EMTs who are on the front lines for a place to fall back, refresh, get what they need, go back into the fight, whatever that fight may be, whether fire, you know, traffic control, emergency services. Secondly, from there, it's starting to work with city officials to go, okay, where's the first place we can start rebuilding to give these people an opportunity? Do we need to build temporary services? Do we need to build a temporary neighborhood to put these people in? Or like with LA, well, the slab's still there. Now we need to do the demo services, of course, and that's not something we do. We partner with other demo services and say, pull all that demo out. Let's inspect the slab. And instead of going through the red tape of making these homeowners go through it, we pull the blueprint down and we start printing right on site. And I say printing the panels, and then we can start to assemble. Now, what's even better for this, Michael, and something that is a huge fantasy of mine and something I think is beyond cool, is the homeowner can actually participate. They can come in and help rebuild the house because, again, it's ice cream sandwiches and paint by numbers. Each panel is individually marked. Each panel stack is individually marked. The actual studio print comes out and you could see it. You can't screw this up. But part of it, they get to take pride in rebuilding. They're not waiting for somebody else to do it for them. Now, that doesn't mean there aren't other people involved, but now we're talking about community building. And I promise you, you rebuild a house or you build a house with someone you've never met and you're doing it together, there's a bond that comes from that. Now, it's not bond the same bond that you would experience in war, let's say the brotherhood or the sister that comes from that experience, but this is a war. It's a war on homelessness. It's a war on how fast we rebuild, how fast our communities are integrating. And when you do that, it's a cool experience. It's because Nelson's like, I remember, hey, Michael, remember we were building that bedroom right there? We got that corner put in. And we were like, wow, that was fast. And now we're moving to the next house. At each house, then we feel a part of it. And I don't mean that you have ownership of it, but you feel a sense of worthiness, a sense of pride. And you've seen this, and only time we see this in mass is generally in disaster, all the way back from 9/11, all the way to now most recently, LA and North Carolina. Maui's another one. We have Florida. Now we've got Houston's had challenges as of late. And of course, you know, Florida gets hit every year with hurricanes. And I'm going, guys, there's something different about it. Now you want to, instead of just donating your money, which is great, we appreciate that when you donate to 501s. But what actually, if you could come out, you don't need construction experience. All you need is a willingness. That's different. Now the people who truly want to help feel like they can come and help. And that's what makes this impact from those just a financial level, but more importantly, a community building level.
And I can only imagine the level of gratification you must hear from clients day in and day out.
I do.
Can you share a few stories of some homeowners and some of the experiences they had before and after connecting with you guys?
Yeah, the one that I love the most, and it's because, you know, and it's really an homage to the late, great President Carter, who, you know, has recently just passed. But Habitat for Humanity is values and its core values are to here to this day, from the original inception from President and Mrs. Carter. And getting to work with them, it took us a while because, again, their machine has kind of been in motion for a while now. They've done it, you know, the way they've always done it. And they're starting to move into bigger developments. And, you know, I cite Omaha as an example. Omaha is now the number two affiliate in the entire United States for Habitat for Humanity. And they're doing massive developments. I don't mean one or two. I mean 400 homes at a time. That includes the horizontal as well as the vertical. And to sit there and watch these volunteers, because what our challenge was, give us people who, you know, normally are just volunteers who don't really know what they're doing in construction per se. Give it to us. 20 of these people showed up. And it was instantly a family. 20 people who had never known each other were from completely different walks of life. Yeah, it was just instantly, okay, how do we do it? Okay, here's the first 15 minutes. We'll show you how to do it. Once we set the corner, they saw it and they took off. And all of a sudden they naturally got into these teams. And it became almost this, I say this term loosely, but it became a competition who could build the walls faster, because they had started to figure out, hey, this isn't as hard as we thought it was. I'm like, no, in fact, it's actually quite simple. Your next challenge is, how come we didn't do five more at the exact same time? In fact, the head of construction, who's an incredible gentleman, his name is Drew, and you can see this video on our website and actually watch us do it. And we timed ourselves because we said, hey, we know we can do it faster in 21 days, but how fast can we do it with people who have never done anything in this experience at all? And we got it done in 4.5 hours. And that was slow because we'd stopped the teach. That's and crazy. Experience and have a cup of coffee for a second, because it went up so fast. Yeah. They were like, oh, I was expecting to be here all day. And I'm like, well, you can if you want to be, but you don't, it's not required. And so those experiences, and I cite those from the perspective that to this day, matter of fact, I talked to Drew last week at the time of this recording, and we talked and it was like, hey, we're going to do the next group together. But now we're contemplating doing significant, you know, minimum of 40, upwards of 200 of them for them at a speed build. And why? People need homes. I mean, Omaha gets hit with a hurricane a tornado every year, sometimes multiples, and it just wipes them out. I'm like, guys, I hate to break it to you, but the sticks and bricks just aren't going to hold up anymore. We've got to do something better. So it was a really cool story to see an organization with such history and would have every right to say, this is the way we've always done it. This is kind of how we're going to stick to it. But they didn't. They said, we're willing to look. We're looking for more progressive, more innovative ways to do this, because their objective is the same. Houses for humanity. End of discussion. However we get there, as long as it's better, faster, greener, stronger, safer, and it still stays within the price point so that people can afford these homes. And I don't mean affordable housing isn't cheap. And audience, be very mindful. The word affordable doesn't mean cheap. It just means affordable for the masses. You can replicate that word, if you like, with attainable or workforce, as the government likes to. They're the ones that adjusted me and said, don't say the word affordable. You got to say the word attainable and workforce. I'm like, okay, whatever works for you. And that makes most sense, though. But I do think it's a misnomer. I think we often think of affordable housing as cheap. And often in the past, it could be. However, it doesn't have to be. And so now we talk about, now we can attain it, right? I mean, look, you know, if you have the ability, I mean, more so, and this is the part that really blows your mind. You could dang near build the structure yourself and then sub out the rest on your own, because it doesn't take two or three guys, gals to get in there and do it and build these things. Because when you see it, you go, oh, why haven't we been that way at all? I remember one general contractor who was up in the Salt Lake City area, and point blank said, we taught him literally in 20 minutes how to put SIPs together on a hexagonal platform that we used to train. And he came in and said, that's it. And we said, that's it. And he said, well, God, I don't know why I ever built with sticks and bricks. I don't know that I'll ever do it again. I said, that's exactly the answer I'm looking for. Not just from our product, but the industry at large, because there's a lot of other great, you know, other manufacturers out there, but you could come to order any of us and we can't keep up. There's no such thing as capacity at this point, because there's so much deficit. So we move that direction though. And we at least start to get 20-30%, you know, infiltration into the space. Hey guys, we're actually going to start making an impact. And ultimately, as the next generation comes up behind us, they'll find something better, or they'll take to the next level and go from there. And that's what makes them so high performance, is output and mobility.
Well, Travis, I want to wrap up with a couple of things, because I know honestly how busy you are. And I really appreciate you taking the time out of your day to connect with us, because there is so much going on in the space. But you set, or stand, I don't know what you want to say, in a very unique spot within the industry, in a very important area that's obviously going to be evolving very rapidly over the next couple of years. From where you stand, what trends do you foresee shaping the housing market? And how do you see this space within the market positioned to lead that change?
As the aforementioned, the advantages of it, both from speed to build, saving, R factor, all of the above, cost effectiveness of running the actual structure post build, is going to be your thing. But two, you know, unfortunately, there's a big movement, and I'm not a super fan of it. I have to be honest with you. High density, multi-stack, multi-fam type of buildings, and they're necessary. Don't get me wrong. However, if we're not going to build them out of those kind of structures, then what's the difference between that and a hotel? For example, if Michael, you and I are four doors down on the same, we're on a third level, high density, you know, building, but I can hear you close your door every time you walk out and my whole thing shakes because we really didn't build the solidity of it, then, you know, what it really does is it creates a breeding ground for non-human connectivity. I was about as polite as I can say that. Sure. When we can do that with this product, and many other parts of this product can do that in every aspect, from RALs, you know, residential assisted living, which is a huge need in this country, and specifically in the special needs sector, something I'm another passionate about because I happen to be a special needs parent. I'm an autistic parent of 22 years. And where does my son go when we're not on the planet? There aren't really RALs for that. It's a huge sector that needs to be done. And the solidity of these buildings and the soundproofing, or the sound dampening, I should say, would be better. I think we're positioned to be in the right spot, but not just from an investment growth perspective because of how we're revolutionizing the industry, but also to all of the brothers and sisters who are in this industry, which there's not nearly enough of us in the United States at all for the aforementioned reasons. Really making a conglomerate to build the fortress of the United States of America back as it was. And I don't mean going back in time, back as in the solidity of we took care of the American dream. Everyone had a shot to get their house. Everyone had a shot to start in an apartment, get into the single family res, move into a bigger house if they want to, and ultimately custom if that was something they chose to do. However, to be able to be part of that and know that as you escalate in your move, you still have the same product load, meaning from the apartment to the custom home, you still have the solidity as opposed to a lesser product, perhaps at the let's say the apartment level or even the single family level, to your custom. Why not? If we're all on the same team, give it to them. And I think those are our two strategic advantages, is where the industry is going, how we can help solve it on both sides, but also from an investment point of view, because again, it's about scalability. And trust me, there's plenty of work for everybody.
Makes a lot of sense. And I'm going to finish on this. Obviously, we're going to leave a link in the show notes that would like to reach out to you or anybody in the team. But for those interested in either partnering or investing in your organization and what you're doing, what types of opportunities are available?
Well, there's several. I mean, obviously, we're still a private company. We have designs of my dream, Michael, is to take this company public. I'm not qualified to take the company public, so we'll eventually have to find someone better and smarter than me because I'm not expert in that space. But to be able to get to that space, twofold. One, that you have an opportunity to own part of it as an operator, as aforementioned, part of the Knights of the Fortress and upholding the oath, as I had said before, but also two, as an investor. Because of that scalability, because of that operation, because of that need and taking that public. But if not for private, we are a private company. You can invest with us directly. We do have investor relations through Skylark Ventures, our East Coast partner, in preparatory for that opportunity to potentially go public. Or you can reach out. We're veteran owned. We're woman led. We're minority diverse. We have all of it here. Men and women, everybody represented, both on military side and civilian side. This is, to me, what is building your fortress is about, as a unified community that says we can do this. This is what America was built on. It didn't matter what your race or creed is. As long as you're pink on the inside and you swore the oath of the flag, good to go. Let's move. What needs to happen, though, is movement, is not getting in this big, long due diligence processes. And I'm not saying don't do your due diligence, people for out there, but I'm saying, come on, guys, at what point are you willing to risk the dream and say, let's go? Because this is about a legacy. I mean, we have some historical projects that we're up for that are massive that will, for me personally, will forever ingrain the Build Your Fortress and the Black Pack name together, because it was veterans and civilians coming together to rebuild America. Really, which is really cool, honoring the past, but building in modern day era so we can speed build these things and bring it back. So if you want an investment, you can go to our website, you can email me directly or email our chairwoman directly, and we'll respond directly with you and get you involved and see how we can help.
I love it. And I really appreciate the deep dive. It's what it's all about. And
thank you.
Thank you for joining us on the Consulting Spotlight today.
Thanks for the opportunity. Appreciate it. Build better together.
Thanks for tuning in to the Software Oasis Podcast Network. With more than 200,000 listeners each month, you're invited to join our engaged community of B2B founders and executives at our next live full-day Software Oasis virtual AI event with the world's top B2B AI experts. Reserve your comp pass today. Get ahead with real AI strategies. Join the first Thursday of every month. Tap green button at softwareoasis.com or use show notes link to claim your spot today.